In 2010, I was able to attend the last very big Mighty Men's conference. Estimates say that there were between 250,000 and 400,000 people at the conference. It was quite incredible to be there. I wasn't a big conference follower, but some people suggested let's go, and so we went. There was a point in this conference when from the stage, there was an announcement made that they'd made banners to give out to churches. And if you wanted a banner, come to the stage and get a banner. I'm South African. The banners were free. You know how it goes. So we made our way to the front, as did 250 to 400,000 other people. They didn't make that many banners. So when we got to the front, they said, sorry, no more banners. Well, it was fine. Interestingly enough, the conference was over. We were back here in Hillcrest. And about a week after that conference, two men came to the church carrying a banner. They're from a church on the other side of town. They had made it to the front quicker than us and had got a banner. But on returning to their church, realized it wasn't for their church. They'd prayed about it and felt that it was a banner for our church. And the words on the banner read, I have appointed you as watchman. Teach my message to all people. I am your God. And they were saying, we're the first church on this side of Hillcrest. And so we're the watchmen of Hillcrest. And so they gave us the banner and said, this is what we believe God is saying to you as a church. And this calling has come up a few times, and then we were at a minister's returnal meeting the end of last year, and one of the other ministers mentioned this very same thing, that we are watchmen, and I realized that we needed to press into that, that we needed to do something about this. We couldn't just let it lie, but we had to be serious about our calling. Last Sunday, James was in the pulpit. Thanks, James, for stepping in. Remember, he said, fetch your life. If you don't, that's fine. You can watch the sermon online. I'm not going to give away any more. That was a very clever statement. He said, get rid of what the world is giving us and dedicate our lives to God. That was his call. He had a declaration, and I hope that he had everybody stand up and recite the declaration. Well, that would have been me, but that's James, so he didn't do that. Sorry, James. Should have given you a heads up before last Sunday, hey? Okay, but the declaration was, I have to feed my mind with the word of God. I have to flee my mind from evil. I have to focus on God in 2026. I'm not going to make you stand up and do it today. Maybe. So that's where we were. As a leadership, we've been saying to each other and to God, what does this year look like? What does 2026 look like for us as a church? We don't want to just kind of flop into the year and flop out of the year and have no direction. We've been praying about it and thinking about it, and we really believe the scripture is the scripture that God has given us for the year. John 8, 31 and 32. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Those with very short attention spans, very important words in that statement are disciples and truth. I'm not looking at you on purpose, Bob. But disciples and truth. Hang on to that, because we really believe that's what God is calling us to press into this year as we go into 2026. We wanted to commit to grow as disciples. We want to know his truth, live his truth, and discern his way in a world of confusion. More than ever, we are confronted with stuff that we're not quite sure, is this true or is this not? You only realize that the lion chasing the person down like Long Street in Johannesburg isn't real when the lion's holding a cell phone or something. But you know what I mean. And so we're going to press into truth this year. We want to become a church that is deeply rooted in God's word. We want to be more Christ-like in character, and we want to be spirit-led in wisdom. The main thrust of this year is discipleship and truth. Can you say those two words with me? Discipleship, truth. And then this is like our catchphrase that we thought would sit quite well. Jesus first, truth always, 2026. Maybe we'll have bumper stickers made with that on. Anyway, we'll think about that. Jesus first, truth always, 2026. So the first half of this year, we're going to be looking at truth, but I didn't want to jump into that before I'd finished talking about watchmen and the banner. And so that's where I want to go this morning. So the words on that banner come from Ezekiel 3, verse 17. And Ezekiel's a prophet, and God says to him in verse 17, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me." And then there's this prophecy that comes to the prophet over and over and over. And then right near the end of his book, Ezekiel 33, verse 7, those exact words are repeated again. "Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me." He's called to warn the people. They are straying from God, and he's there to warn them to come back to God. They're a rebellious people, and he's saying to them, hear God's word and listen to what God is saying. He isn't called to be successful, but he's called to be faithful. God sees what's happening, and he sends a messenger to warn the people. It's interesting, if he succeeds, then that is a good thing. If he fails, it's interesting, the sin of the people, he will bear the consequence of the people's sin if he does not deliver the message, if he's not a faithful watchman. So he preaches, he warns, and he does some wild stuff. If you want some interesting reading, grab the book of Ezekiel. He lies on his one side and then on his other side to make a point, but not simply overnight. He lies on his one side for 390 days. Just let that sink in. That's over a year. And on the other side for 40 days. He shaves his hair and his beard, and then he does some wild stuff. He divides up the hair and the beard. He burns some. He slaps some with a sword. He scatters some, hides some in his shirt. I don't know. He was trying to make a point. He was big on, like, object lessons. Then he packs a bag as if he's going into exile. And he doesn't just walk out. He digs a hole through the wall to get out. Yeah, we could have some fun in this church if they gave me some dynamite. Okay. But these very dramatic illustrations, and there's more. That's what I'm saying. Maybe if you want some fun reading, go to Ezekiel. There's more things that he does that are quite wild. But he's as if he's a watchman on the wall blowing a trumpet saying, pay attention. Pay attention. Then we've got Isaiah's watchman in Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. "I've posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem." Here the emphasis is slightly wider for the watchmen. Watchmen are not only those who warn, they're also those who intercede. They have persistent voices. They're the keepers of hope, and those who will not be silent. They pray, they proclaim God's salvation, and they stay spiritually awake. What was a watchman then? Well, he had a prominent position, often a tower or on the city wall. During the harvest, he would look out for people stealing the crops or animals. During danger or war, they would watch to see that they weren't being attacked. They had a high vantage point so that they could see the surrounds. When danger came, they sounded a trumpet. The life of the community depended on the watchman. A watchman watches what approaches. He warns of danger. He defends the city. He protects the harvest. He keeps people alert. A spiritual watchman guards truth, resists deception, protects the flock, prays for the city, speaks when God says speak. Did you know that Jesus calls us to watch? In Mark 13, he says, "Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house, puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Jesus is asking us to stay alert, to keep watch. We need to be spiritually awake. We need to do God's word and work, and we need to live ready for his return. He warns that when he comes back, no one should be sleeping. And I quite like the term there, spiritually sleeping. We can't be spiritually sleeping. Spiritually sleeping means we're complacent, we may be distracted, or we're drifting from our calling. But in Mark 13, verse 37, the words are, everybody needs to watch. How does this apply to us at Hillcrest Presby? A watchman guards the territory of the king. We are placed where we are on purpose. We're not just a building. We're not just an address. We are number 1A Old Main Road. Whenever I tell people this story, I always say, on that side of this little road is Gillett's. On this side of that little road is Hillcrest. We are the very first. That's why we have the banner. That's why we have the mantle, because we are number 1A Old Main Road. We're placed here by God. Over the years, we've been approached by people to sell for commercial purposes. And we've always said no. And it's never been a financial decision. It's always been a spiritual decision. This isn't just a piece of real estate, but this is God's calling. 51 years ago, when people started this church and bought this bit of property, God already knew why this was the place for this church. If we ever did sell, it would be a spiritual decision. So who are we? We are the watchmen of Hillcrest. God calls us to watch, and Jesus calls us to stay awake. What do we do practically? Well, we pray for our town. We intercede for families, schools, businesses, leaders. We're a prophetic voice when truth is compromised. We warn when danger approaches. We proclaim hope when people despair. Our job is holy. Watch, warn, witness faithfully.